Welcome to the Home of Misfits podcast, where normal is optional, masks are unnecessary, and you belong.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Home of the Misfits, where normal is optional, masks are not necessary, and everybody belongs. And I'm so happy you're here. And today, I'm here with a new friend. We actually just met recently, and she took my quantum healing hypnosis technique session, and it was amazing. But you know, that's a different story. So I would like to introduce to you Jude. And Jude, I'm so excited you're here. I'm so happy to have you. Thank you for being here and for sharing your awesome self with us. Why don't you tell us a little about you?
Thank you, Sabine. I'm glad to be here. Well, I am a registered nurse by trade, and I have been on a journey over the last probably year of recognizing that traditional Western medicine can definitely use some support and help with other healing modalities and systems and services. I spent most of my career in emergency medicine and addiction medicine. So that's my passion and forte. Yeah. I just for context, in the early 2000s, I was working in an ED and saw the rise of the opioid crisis in this country and just saw people getting more and more sick. And more struggles and people coming in with these outrageous legal prescriptions for opioids that were just insane. So I started to think about our system in this country in terms of how we support people struggling with addiction and the crisis. And that was early on before we really saw the fallout. Of folks and young people. So I started to look around the world, what other public health systems and other countries were doing to address this crisis. Mm-hmm. And I started to follow the country of Portugal, who was developing at that time in early 2000. They had the worst heroin crisis per capita in the world, and people were literally dying in the streets. And they implemented as a public health system throughout the country harm reduction practices. What does that mean? That meant at that time that they were educating and employing social workers, nursing staff, medical providers with the tools and the mindset of supporting people that were still in active use with, for example, clean supplies. If they were injecting drugs, they gave them clean supplies and overdose prevention, like naloxone, things like that. And so, but in addition to that, they also, social work began to work with people to, if they were houseless, they started to work with them, get them off the streets, get them into treatment systems, and really taking care of not only the healthcare piece, but their basic human needs. And within 10 years, which is unheard of in most medical systems, within 10 years, they went from the worst drug crisis problem in the world to the best, the least amount of overdose death rates, the least amount of people that were still struggling from employing these practices. So that became my target. And so I really embraced the model and philosophy of harm reduction, because what that means is you take people where they're at that point in time, if they're still in active use, and you give them the supplies to stay alive and the resources, and you constantly develop relationship, right? And when they're finally done and tired, and many times they live that way anyway. People do not like to be addicted to substances, whatever that may be. And I think that's a misunderstanding of the general public. People don't understand how much people want to quit, but their brain is sick. I mean, you can see it physically on a PET scan. You can see a
Right.
sick, addicted brain. And so that.
Well, a lot of times I think it's also like coping mechanisms, you know, it's like
Sure.
to dull whatever pain there is. I mean, I know with pain medication, you know, it's like,
Oh, drugs work. Drugs work. I know that's a controversial statement, but they numb people
right.
from their trauma, from their disparities, from whatever is going on with them mentally, emotionally, spiritually, right? So that's what we fail to understand and incorporate into general health care in this country. So I opened when I was done working in emergency medicine and addiction medicine. I started a nonprofit, a harm reduction nonprofit,
Nice.
and built it pretty significantly in Southern Colorado to the point of where we had folks in active use, but I also employed what's called peer specialists, people with lived experience who were there and have gotten into recovery and are very strong because they can relate to people that are still struggling, right? They're powerful, powerful allies in the
Right.
healthcare on the healthcare team. So we would help folks get into treatment and off of the streets and into jobs and getting their children back, helping them with legal systems,
Nice.
finding attorneys. So it was a very successful system and is still growing. So hopefully I'm no longer involved with that nonprofit, but I think that hopefully they will pick up that mantle and continue with that mindset and model because it
Right.
worked and it works.
Nice.
And there are
And
other
it's important. I mean, it is so important.
Very important because we have seen an absolute devastation in certain parts of the state here alone. Southern Colorado has been hit hard by the opioid crisis, which has now turned into the fentanyl crisis, which unfortunately.
I know it's crazy. That's
Yeah.
a whole nother show.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I think when you were here when I met you, you were talking about your Native American ancestry. You want to share a little about that? Because I find that fascinating.
Well, yes, thank you for asking that. I have been curious, and again, probably over the last year or two, I've been looking at my ancestry. I grew up in Southern Colorado, and my parents didn't share a lot about where our history was and came from. You know, they shared the Southern European side of things a lot more than the indigenous side, and for whatever reason. But I was curious and went on a journey to find out what those roots, not only where they came from, but where exactly in the US and on the Americas where we have come from. So I actually discovered significant roots in the Taos Pueblo region of northern New Mexico, around Taos, New Mexico. There's seven strong pueblos, and I found ancestry from great grandmothers and great great grandmothers mostly, which kind of indicates to me that a lot of Native Indigenous women were marrying Spanish Portuguese men that were colonizing that part of the country. So yeah, it's
That
pretty
makes sense.
fascinating. And now I'm starting to really understand my healer roots as well. There's quite a bit of curandera medicine and healing indications in my background. And I'm just trying to embrace that and understand because, you know, nursing, when you're called into nurse, it's a calling. It is
It,
definitely
yeah, I couldn't do
not something that,
it.
yeah. And I make people laugh because, yeah, if I could have done anything else, there are times where I say, I wish I could have been called to something else, but
What was I
what
thinking?
was I thinking? Exactly. But it's a passion too. I mean, I can't imagine myself anywhere else but here, helping people and physically, spiritually, mentally. And that's the part too. Western medicine, we don't often, it's all so interconnected, our spirit, our mind, our body. And I think that part is starting to have some breakthrough in Western medicine
I
because
agree.
our emotions control everything, and our spiritual well-being controls the status of our bodies. And the more we understand and recognize that and seek out services and systems to support that, the stronger we are and the healthier we are as a being, right?
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
I'm excited about that part. I know our healthcare system, a lot of folks are really struggling, and the system itself is on the brink, right? In terms of access and cost, and it's crazy.
Right.
I will just say we need universal health care in this country. We should not be paying for health care. It
That's
should
a
be,
whole different story.
yeah,
But
that's another conversation.
on the healing part, it's like, yeah, Western medicine is really good in so many things. For me, it's like a lot of the medications, everything, it's chemicals. And our bodies just don't know what to do with these chemicals. Is yeah, it's like they took the basic idea from Mother Nature, but then they created it chemically and everything, but our bodies simply don't know what to do with it. So you take one and you have to take another to offset these side effects and da 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 da. And it's like, and I love what you do because you're going back into holistic medicine. Right?
And where did medicines come from? They came from plants and herbs.
Exactly.
And we have thrown in all these toxins, and that's the problem with so many medications. Look at any commercial for any type of medication, from psoriasis treatment to cancer to erectile dysfunction, whatever the case may
Yeah,
be. You look at,
I shut off all the commercials. It's like I don't
yeah.
even watch regular cable. I have like subscriptions to all kinds, and I happily pay extra just to not see those stupid advertisings.
Yeah. Well, if you watch them though, I mean, the list of side effects
Oh my
is
gosh.
almost worse than the problem. Why
Right.
is that? Because our bodies don't metabolize the chemical structure of most medications. And
Exactly.
I'm on a mission to educate people about that. Not that they need to stop. There's a time and place for Western medicine. I think
Absolutely.
the huge benefit is emergent care, right? If there's
Right.
accidents, if there's a crisis, if somebody is having a heart attack or something of that nature, that's where Western medicine is most important in my mind. And I don't know, I'm probably biased because I was an emergency medicine nurse. So but I've also done everything from hospice to home health to ICU. I've done all of those types of nursing as well, but my favorite was definitely
Right.
addiction medicine. So
No, and again, it's like Mother Nature has everything for us that we need to sustain and to be healthy.
absolutely,
But that's a whole nother topic. There's no profit in
right.
it.
Well, because that's the way our system is set up. There could be,
Right.
I mean, when you look at indigenous cultures around the world, actually, that have medicinal treatments. I mean, every ancient culture that you look at, from Egypt to South America to the Mayan, Aztec, regions, you see evidence of them even doing surgery. It's pretty fascinating when you look at these systems, but they use natural plant medicine, which is also something that I am working on as well, is developing my natural medicine practice, because I feel that a lot of folks, they even don't seek treatment
Right.
because they can't afford it, and now folks are losing their health care. And so, what are we going to do? What are people going to do? I feel like we need to go back to our roots.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. And it's just something that we forgot. And it's like part of what I do is I help people remember who they are underneath all of that
Right,
junk,
exactly. And
you know.
that's what
So,
QHHT does.
right.
And so that ancient knowledge and wisdom is here, right? And from doesn't matter where your roots came from across this
Right.
world, it was given to all of us.
Exactly. And we have all the information. It's just buried so deep within our subconscious, and
Right.
it's like, and then we come into this life and so much gunk gets piled on top of everything,
Right.
and we simply forgot. We
Right.
simply forgot. We all, every one of us has the knowledge. We have all the information. We just simply forgot. So,
Right.
but it's okay.
It's good to
Fortunately.
let it is okay, but it we can educate people that there are practitioners like yourself, like myself, and others that are in tune with that, and our goal, I know mine personally, is to help others find it. And if to if that's the type of healing that they want to seek out, it's available to them. That's the other part of things, right? Is so many folks do not have access
Right.
to the type of knowledge that we are uncovering and discovering. I don't think
Absolutely.
there's
Yeah.
ever a time where we won't have that, the discovery happening. I learn every day and continue to, and every
Good.
time I learn, I realize how much I don't know.
I know
So.
that I just said that to a friend yesterday. I was like, it's like all the things I've learned over the last couple of years, and it's like, oh my God, I realize it's like the more I learn, the
Right. That's what it feels like, but it's not true. We're absorbing. It's just so
Right.
vast. That's the
It's just like
overwhelm,
there's
right?
so much, and it's like, those commercials, those infomercials, but wait, there's more.
No. Exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. It's like looking into the Grand Canyon, only it gets bigger and bigger every
Right,
time.
it I love it. It's so fun. It's so amazing. And any of you guys listening, watching, whenever a thought pops in your mind, explore that. There's a reason that popped in, and it's like it might be something totally trivial, but it's like the answers you get is like just ask the question and then go within and listen. It is so amazing the answers you will get. It
Right.
it's mind-boggling. I love it. It's like.
And dreams. Dreams is another source of for folks to discover what that hidden knowledge is about too. A lot of folks, I hear this a lot, especially in the times that we're in, folks having very confusing and almost fear-inducing dreams. And I like to encourage people not to be afraid to do that, to look at that, what's happening, and
Right.
is this something from my past lives, or is it something, a warning system, like what's happening? Because that's how you train your intuition as well,
Right.
and we've not trained our intuition as well
Right.
as we could
And a
be.
really good question to ask on stuff like that is like, what is this trying to teach me?
Exactly.
Because it's teaching you something. It's showing up, it's happening for a reason. It's like, okay, what is it trying to teach me? Because here's the fun part too. It's like once you learn the lesson, it doesn't repeat.
That's true. That's
Once
true.
you
You've
learn the
learned.
lesson, it's gone. But until you learn the lesson, and I always tell my clients too, and it's like, so we get a lesson comes along, something happens, and the universe is like, hey, look, I have a lesson for you. Do you want it? And you're like, no, you ignore it, you move on your way. The problem is the lesson, it might seem it goes away, but it doesn't. It goes and it finds a friend and it comes back and it's like, look, I'm back and I brought a friend. You want it now? And it keeps doing this and it's loading more and more on it until you have no choice. So the sooner you recognize something is happening, it's like, not why is this happening to me? First of all, why is this happening for me and what is the lesson I need to learn? Changes everything. I can tell you that. It changes everything. Because I used to be like deep, far deep in that poor me victimhood kind of thing, until someday, one day, not someday, but one day I woke up and I was like, this is not working. This is not working. This is my life. This is my responsibility. And then it's like, and I started asking different questions. I just reframed, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking. Not all the time, because I'm human, I still screw up, but more and more I pay attention. And as soon as you do
Exactly.
that, you will notice too, things change, and write a journal and take notes or whatever, but take note of those little changes. And it's like, and when you look back, all of a sudden those little changes add up, and they're this big, huge, amazing thing that happened.
Yeah, it's like a b large sculpture that
Right.
evolves right in front of your
Right.
very eyes. Yes, you're absolutely spot on with respect to that. And folks, also the self-judgment. If you don't learn the first time, nothing wrong with that. I think we've
Yeah, don't beat yourself up.
developed a system of self-beating up and deprecation that we don't stop to recognize that we're even doing that. It just becomes, well, I didn't, that doesn't work because I
It's a
didn't
habit,
learn.
it's a learned habit.
Exactly.
Right. But that's when you pay
30
attention.
days it takes to develop a new habit. 30 days. The
Right.
average brain, it takes 30 days to develop a habit.
Well, it doesn't just take it takes the awareness, become aware of it. So I have this really awesome book by Mindy Otlin, and she's awesome. I can highly recommend it. It's called What If It All Goes Right? What you do is one of the things in there, and I tell my clients to do a 10-day mental diet. Okay, I don't know how many years I've been doing this, because I start over pretty much every day, but that's a different story. The point is, first of all, you
You're being
cannot
honest.
fail. You cannot fail. But what this is like, as soon as you ne realize you have a negative thought, and I always do, I use driving, for instance. I mean, most of you drive, or a passenger in a car. And what happens when somebody cuts you off or does something stupid? You unleash all your fury, and I used to do that, unleash all your fury, everything that was built up onto that one person. Okay? They don't care. They may not even be aware that they just did something wrong. They're on and they're long gone, and you're still in your car and ranting and raving and right? So as soon as you realize that, you stop. You don't beat yourself up. It's like, oh man, blah, 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 I screwed up again, blah. No, you just recognize it. You're just like, oh, negative thought. Okay. Then what you do is you shift it. You stop, take the exit, not literally, but change that, exit that conversation in your head, and you shift it to a positive. So in this instance, instead of focusing on that one person while you're driving that annoyed the heck out of you and unleashed all your fury, now you focus on all the others around you that didn't. You know how easy that is? But your diet starts over.
A new day. That's a new day. And that's the
But
beauty of it though, too, right?
and it's awesome, and the more you do it, it's like in the beginning I was like, oh man, it was like a lot of times during the day that negative thoughts came in. It wasn't just driving, it was like all kinds of things, just negative, whether I said something or I thought something, but what I noticed over there, because now I'm aware, it's just like when you're on a regular diet, on a food diet, you pay attention to what you put in your mouth. It's like, oh, I can't eat that, that will ruin my diet. It's the same with the mental diet. Right. And before you notice it, it's like you do that negative things less and less and less and less and less. I still do it because I'm human. Okay. But I'm a lot faster aware of it. And it's happening a lot less.
Yeah,
And
you
it,
built up your mind to do that.
right. But it's a habit, it's a conditioning, but you got to start somewhere. You just have to start. And
100%.
then looking back, it's like, oh, wow. Wow. And the best part is, it's rubbing off on my husband when we're driving.
Side benefit. Yes.
He still like goes off, and I'm like, why are you putting all your energy into that? That person doesn't care. Also, giving you is a heart attack. Is it worth it? And at first he goes like,
Exactly.
grumble, 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 grumble. Now he goes like, you're right. And we move on.
You're exactly right. I mean, people, struggle so much with stress and anxiety, and it just seems to be so common. And in my work and practice, I started to see that probably early 2010s to 15s, folks that had a loved one, kind of going back to my history, is the families of folks struggling with addiction. You know, we forgot about them. That was also another path for me to recognize and to bring to the forefront, because it's not just that individual that gets sick. It's the people that surround them. And on average, there's 6 to 10 people frontline impacted. And I remember the Pew Research Foundation in around 2017, 16, 17, estimated that 64% of the US population was frontline affected by the opioid crisis. That's a lot. And I would beg to differ. Well, at that time, probably that was accurate. Right now, I would estimate that percentage to be around 75 to 80% frontline affected. That's how significant. And again, you're kind of going back to bring that back around to what you're just saying is folks have to take care of themselves, right? That no one's going to do this for you. And there are systems available to help you and to give you tools, but you have to engage in that self-love to the point of where you're on that road in that practice for your benefit. You want to live healthy. You want to live longer. You're not going to stop life from happening around you. And you can't control the actions of others, even though they have impact on you. And that's such a struggle, I think, in our society. And I would love to see people heal more from that. That's a mission that I'm on
Well, I mean, and
for
then that's
sure.
part of why I started that Home of Misfits, you know, because it's like we all struggle. We all have some struggle one way or another, right? And I had one person was like, "I'm not a misfit," and blah blah blah. I'm like, "Well, technically we all are, you know, because
We are.
do you really fit in every single box that society has available for you? I know I don't. It's like my thing is, it's like, what's a box, you know?" But that's a different thing. But it's like in some form or another, you know, we all have struggles. We all because we don't fit in every single box that society created. I wouldn't want to fit in every box. That'd be, oh my goodness, you know.
Right. And what does that mean? Fit in every, that
Well, I mean, and
means
I
a
tried this, like, you know,
definition
in the
of.
business world here, in doing the networking here in Colorado Springs, you know. But it's like I put on a mask and I was miserable. It wasn't me. You know, I put on the show because that's what was expected. You show up in a different way, you talk a different way, a specific way, and all of these things, but it's like it was not me. It just wasn't me. You know, so in that respect, I was a misfit. You know, and that's just the thing. It's like we all are misfits in some form or another. But anyway, I want to go back to plant medicine real quick again because I think it's so important. So for someone who's never explored herbal or food healing foods, you know, food-based healing, where's a simple place to start? Or is there like one specific one that they can start, or one specific plant they can start with?
You know, the resources out there are, and with the beauty of the internet, what I would recommend to folks is start looking like what's going on in your body. Do you have a chronic health condition? Do you have a mental health condition? Do you have something that's brewing that just isn't right? Do you have chronic recurring infections of some sort? And maybe start with that and seek out internet and start looking, but look at foods. And first and foremost, because that's something that we do for the most part, most people have access to. They can start with looking, you know, and we have to look at our food system too, but that's probably a whole other conversation for
That's a
another
whole
day,
nother show.
because a lot of our commercial foods cause a lot of inflammation in the body. And even though we think we're eating fresh, we think we're eating whole and quality food, it really does depend on the source, because our the pesticides used, the the grazing systems. We don't have much grazing systems for our meat products and poultry products in this country, and it's getting more significant in terms of the quality and lack of quality that we're getting. I'm always amazed at, even though we ship a lot of products into different countries, they get cleaner food than we do, even from the same source. That's
How sad is
disturbing
that?
to me. That is very disturbing to me that we're being fed processed foods, cereals. There's so many things that we really shouldn't be
But
ingesting.
think about it, but and I'm just gonna leave it as a statement, because that's a whole nother discussion and everything, but think about it. That subpar food that we're being fed, that's available to us, is feeding the healthcare system.
Oh, definitely.
It's
It,
keeping us sick,
it's
it's keeping us in place, so we have to go to the doctors. And it's business.
It's more profitable for people to be sick than healthy.
Right.
I've
Not for us
recognized,
as a person, but for the system.
Well, for us, no, it's not a benefit to us as a person,
Right.
but that is the reality of our healthcare in this country, is it's more profitable for us to be sick
Right.
than
Right.
healthy. So,
Anyway, we're not going to get into that because we can talk for like days on
I could talk
that
about that forever.
one. Because, like, anyway, so I have a question. One food, or what is one food or foods that are more powerful than people realize?
Oh gosh. The apples are amazing. Apples can be, they're pretty accessible year round, and there are so many ways in which we can extract the nutrition and the health benefit from apples,
Well,
baking
they
them,
say an apple
grilling
a day
them.
keeps the doctor away.
But it's the preparation too. And that's the other thing I would like to educate folks on, is it's the preparation of that particular, to just pick up an apple again and eat it raw. Again, you're it depends on what's happening in your system, because there's also a difference between your physiological needs of hot and cold, right? That's Chinese medicine, and we recognize that so many things cause inflammation, even cold foods, but we think we're eating something healthy based on that. So I would tell people, just play around with it. Start cutting up an apple and putting it in a boiling tea and drink the juice that way. At night, if you bake an apple and you eat the cooked apple before bed, there are several properties in there that will help induce sleep for some folks.
Oh,
So,
wow.
and that's a
Interesting.
huge problem in our society as well, is sleeplessness. I also provide a treatment called AccuDetox. It's auricular acupuncture, ear acupuncture, and it hits the three detoxifying organs and your sympathetic nervous system and what is called your spirit gate. In Chinese, it's medicine, it's called the Shenmen. And what it does is it detoxifies the body, and it's probably one of the best things. I've learned a lot of things in my nursing practice, but it is one of the most effective immediate benefits that I have ever
Oh, wow.
utilized on people. I use it a lot for folks that are in recovery from addiction and in treatment, and it helps them, because when your body's detoxing from hard drugs like that, they tend to have increased rates of anxiety and depression, because their body's starting to come to life again. And it reduces the symptoms from those disorders.
Wow.
And for folks in general, I like to provide clinics to nursing staff and a healthcare staff, because a lot of healthcare people and folks in the industry, they don't take care of themselves. We're going, and I remember those days. I mean, 12-hour shift is not a 12-hour shift. It's more like a 16, 17-hour shift. It
Right.
never is. By the time you're done charting and finishing up and handing off, it's ridiculous. And I guess the hardship on the body when you're in those fields
Right.
is
Well, it's a
not.
constant stress. I mean, stress is not good for the body, period. I mean, they've done a bazillion studies on that, and if you have that constant when your nervous system can never relax and recover, and you're in a constant state of stress and fight and flight, it wreaks havoc on your system.
It does. It really does. So apples, but what I was going to say too is if you're using citrus right now, we're in citrus season, right? We have a lot of oranges and lemons, limes. There's another thing that lemons are a warm food, technically. That's what we put them in our tea. Limes are not the same. Limes, even though they look the same, they taste similar. Limes are a cooling food. And
Interesting.
learning those differences is really important. And those are just little things that anybody can learn to do. Research it. Is this food warm? Do I have inflammation? And you can kind of judge that based on what's going on in your body. Do you tend to have, a lot of respiratory problems? There's some inflammation going on. There's some phlegm happening. All of those things, you can actually do some research and look at foods that clear those things out.
That's amazing.
I create and make a lot of tinctures for folks that help with those types of chronic health conditions, and they've been very effective. And
No, I
they're
love
from
that.
plants. They're from plants. Yeah.
I love
Yeah.
that. So, what's one myth about natural healing you'd like to bust?
It's effectiveness and the fact that, if you find a good practitioner, that's the key, right? Because they're not all created equal in any industry, is recognizing and working with someone, a holistic person that is not only knowledgeable but listens to you. And that's in any arena when you're seeking out healing and providers services, is someone that's really genuinely listening to you, because everybody is so different and unique. I've done a lot of education and will continue
Oh,
to
and fun fact,
help
nobody lived in
people.
your body as long as you have.
Right, exactly. And that's it too, is you're the consumer. When it comes to healthcare, people have to know they're the consumer. You are hiring that provider. They're working for you. And that is what you have to go in there with, is that mindset of you are in control. You're the person. If you're not being listened to, or you don't feel that you are, if you get a treatment and it's been ineffective, or the side effects are outrageous, there's always more than one way to skin a cat. Seek out other systems. And I am not here to say that Western medicine, I think they need to coexist. I
Oh,
do. I've
absolutely.
been trained in Western medicine, and they have to coexist. But we haven't developed that cohesive relationship just yet. But I feel things are moving in that direction.
I agree. I think so too, because it's like more and more people are waking up and they're asking different, well, not just different questions, but they're starting to ask questions, and it's like, wait a minute, this is not working. Why is this not working? And they start, to wake up and ask questions and ask different questions, So I love that. So
Well,
if
the
some
pharmaceutical industry has made a lot of money. That is definitely where, I mean, if folks don't know, even know, going back to my background, the pharmaceutical industry is what started the opioid crisis back
Well, yeah, we
in the
know
early
that.
2000s. A lot of folks don't. They don't
No.
understand that. They think it was cartels bringing in heroin. Well, there became a demand for opioids when prescription pills started to be regulated, because for a period of time, it was a free-for-all. Providers were encouraged. Again, I won't go down this rabbit hole, but the Sackler family with Purdue Pharma had this huge campaign and were lying to doctors about the effects of OxyContin. And OxyContin was had a longer lasting, it was not something that was short-lived in the body. It lasted for a very long period of time. So people, but then when they started to reduce the amounts of prescription, people started to take more and more of it, and then they were addicted.
No, it's a vicious cycle. It really is. But so if someone listening today feels disconnected from their body or their purpose or nature itself, What is one small step they could do to take today to begin finding their way back?
Boy, I would say spend some time in your spirit and your mind to find out what is it? Why don't I feel well? What's happening there? Because it has to start there. Even when you seek out other professionals and healers, you have to be able to articulate what it is that's happening that you want to get better. And so I think that's the first step, and start looking at what you're taking in to your body. Food is fuel, and healing plants are medicine. So what is it? I mean, you might be growing something in your home. You might be growing basil. Basil is an amazing natural medicine. Oregano.
Other than it tastes amazing in food too.
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't love basil? But that's just one of many hundreds. And so those are the types of things that you could start doing for yourself and seeing the effects of it on your body. If you find that you're starting to respond and feeling better, feeling more neutralized, because folks tend to swing either we're way up here excited and overly stimulated, or we're down here, we're crash and burn.
Nice.
So that's,
And
a
here's the
lot of
thing,
that
guys. It's
has to
like you don't
do.
just do it once. Okay. You do it consistently over a period of time and then you notice things. And for some people, they notice something faster. For others, it takes longer. So it's like don't just try it once and it's like, well, it's not working. Okay. It's doing something for you. Just stick with it. Give it a chance. My rule is like I always give it an honest 3 months, 3 to 6 months,
I agree. I think that, even in Western medicine, we tell people, even in the behavioral health arena, that antidepressants take 30 days to really start showing its effectiveness, whether or not it is effective for you. So you have to tell patients you need 30 days. Don't judge this until then. You're gonna have your body's gonna adjust, or you might feel some side effects, but it has to be a minimum 30 days. So why not the natural stuff? Because you're also detoxifying your body when you start going down that route. And that's another aspect of this, is you start feeling sometimes not so great because your body's purging itself of all those poisons that have been building up in your body.
And here's the other thing too, is like you're doing this for you. For you. Not for your spouse, not for your children, not for anybody. You're doing it for you. Because you are the number one person. You're the most important person in your life. So you take care of you.
Exactly. 100%. And that affects everything else. You don't recognize it. You're the one it starts with, then you want to be the best for everyone else. It has to start with you.
And it ripples out. I mean, it's like, seeing the effects is like I said, it's like I'm calmer now while driving, and when I'm driving with my husband, he's calmer now too, because it just ripples on. It's like whatever you do for you don't, yes, you do it for you, but it doesn't just affect you because we're all connected anyway, it ripples out. It's so cool. It's so cool. It's so cool. So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Jude?
By email, and I can give you that information. That's the best way. Right now, I do, I'm not necessarily advertising out there on social media. I am of the mindset for this practice that those that are drawn in by what I have to say, or have an understanding or a belief and
They
an
will come.
acceptance of my practice, they will come. And
It's like, how do they go in the movie? If you build
I'm
it, they
very
will come.
non-traditional. Yes, that way. I just think that it's, I want folks to start with what's around them and what's accessible for them first,
I love that.
and
I love
then,
that.
make it easy, right? We don't need to complicate things.
Do you have a parting message for our viewers and our listeners?
I just appreciate this time to be able to share and to hopefully let folks know that there are others out there that have that love and compassion for one another and believe that it starts inside here with each and every one of us. And I hope that our message today helps someone to start thinking in that direction. You know, that love starts with self and then it emanates out to everyone else.
I love that. What a beautiful message. Ah, gets me all warm and fuzzy. I love it. Thank you. Well, Jude, thank you so much for being here today with us. And thank you all for listening, for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with another episode. And remember, normal is optional, masks are not necessary, and everybody's welcome. So you are awesome. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Home of Misfits by Matters of Perspective. You belong.